Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, I want us to go ahead and read the section that we began last time and that we'll be going through, beginning in verse 7. Follow with me as I begin in verse 7 and read through verse 13, where Paul says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." Now, as I mentioned last time, what we have in this passage are four effects of the law of God. And he mentions these effects, the Apostle Paul mentions these effects as arguments against the perceived question that he anticipated beginning in verse 7. What's that question? What shall we say then? Is the law sin? And that's the question that would be on the minds of some of his readers. Because we are delivered from the law, does that make the law evil? If we're not made righteous by the law, what good is it? Is the law actually bad? And Paul's response is what? God forbid. Absolutely not. That's not the case. And then he gives for us four reasons why the law is not evil. The first effect, as we saw in verse 7, is that the law reveals sin in a person's life. And we all understand that. That's what the law does. Paul says in verse 7, he says, "Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." As I mentioned last time, the law is kind of like an X-ray machine, isn't it? It can see things that you can't see. An X-ray machine reveals physical problems that were previously unknown or identified. And the X-ray machine does not cause the problem, right? The X-ray machine, it's not the X-ray machine's fault that there is a cancer or something like that. It merely reveals the problem. And in many cases, this revelation can be life-saving for those that undergo it. And it's the same thing with the law. That's one of the effects of the law. It reveals the areas of our lives that we are not in conformance to the Word of God, to God's standard of righteousness. And Paul highlights a besetting sin of his own personal testimony here, that the law revealed to him covetousness in his own life. How? Just by saying, "Thou shalt not covet." And the Spirit of God works through His Word to reveal those things. Not just the external things, but also, like covetousness, the internal issues. And folks, that's a good thing. It's a really good thing that the law reveals to you just how wicked you truly are. And we can thank God. It's actually an act of God's mercy, as we'll see these other effects. The second thing that we mentioned last time also is that the law not only exposes our sin, but the law also arouses our sin. That is, it stimulates our sinful passions. Look at verse 8. He says, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence." That word concupiscence just means covetousness. "For without the law, sin was dead." And so in this verse, as I mentioned last time, Paul really reveals the insidiousness of sin. The tactics of sin are so deceptive. Sin takes occasion by the commandment. That is that sin actually uses the very law of God as a springboard, as kind of a base of operation from which to attack us. You would not expect that. Right? When you go into the Word of God, you wouldn't expect that there would be a possibility that sin would be lurking there, hoping that you would respond to the law incorrectly. And that's what it is. When you look at God's Word and you respond to it incorrectly, that is, you think, I can be righteous by this, then sin is right there to say, oh yeah, that's right. You can be righteous by that. And sin will try to take us down. Now again, it's not the fault of the law, is it? It is the wickedness of sin that uses the law to urge us to resist it and to break it. And why is that a good thing? Because it reminds us that there is no deliverance from sin by adhering to the law. There's no way that any of us will escape the power of sin by trying to keep the law of God. And that's a good thing for us to understand. There is no strength derived by keeping the law of God, right? We try, we think it's a good thing, but there is no power that comes from it whatsoever. The only strength and deliverance for the Christian is through God's grace, not through God's law. The next effect of the law that the apostle deals with, again, he's using his own testimony, is that the law ruins sinners. The law ruins sinners. It destroys the sinner. And again, this is a good thing. This is a good place to be. Look at verses 9 to 11. He said, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me." Now, again, look at verse 9. Beginning of verse 9, Paul says, "For I was alive without the law once." Mm-hmm. So when was Paul, what's Paul talking about here? When was Paul ever alive without the law? You know, Paul, I think we understand Paul was never without the law. You look at Paul's own testimony. Paul was never without the law, right? He always knew of the law. He was always concerned about the law. As a matter of fact, when he gave his testimony, he considered himself to be an expert in the law, right? He said when it came to the law, he was what? He was a doctor, but he was blameless. When it came to the law, Paul said he was blameless. So when was he alive apart from the law? Well, this is where we have to take this apart a little bit. Paul considered himself alive. And what he's talking about here is Paul considered himself to be living as he kept the commandments of God. He felt that life came from what? Keeping the commandments of God. He believed that the law brought life and that he became righteous by living the law, right? He was alive by keeping the law, but he was alive only so long as he focused on the letter of the law. You know what that caused him to do? It caused him to ignore the intent of the law. Mm-hmm. It caused him not to allow the law to do its work. Folks, that is the bad. That's what sin does, right? Sin is insidious, like I said. It hides in the law. If we feel that we can be righteous by the law, sin causes our focus to change to think we can actually become righteous by the law, and we lose sight of the intent of the law. We can't see. The intent is to show us we can't do it. The intent of the law is to reveal to us our sin, to stir up our sin, to help us to see we are wicked people. That's the intent of the law. But Paul was in this blissful condition, right? I'm alive in the law. I'm keeping the law. That's where my righteousness is. And so in that kind of thinking, he was alive, but not really with the law, right? He was alive without the real intent of the law. Does that make sense? That's what he's talking about here. What's the first thing that we said the law does? It reveals sin. But when you just focus on the keeping of the law, you don't think you're sinning anymore. You think that by keeping the law, you're righteous. And so it's just like not having the law at all. And so it has to do with what he says at the end of verse 11. We'll get to that too. But he says that the law deceived me, or sin deceived me, and by it slew me. So what did sin actually do? What did sin use? It deceived Paul. Sin deceived Paul into believing that he could keep the law, and that would bring him life. But the Lord was merciful to Paul. The Lord was merciful in his life, and Paul understood, folks, and he experienced the true effect of the law. That's what he's saying when he says, when the commandment came. What he's saying is, when I finally understood and realized the intent of the commandment, things changed. At first, I thought I was alive, but I really wasn't with the law. I wasn't allowing the law to do its work, but I thought I was alive. But when the commandment came, when he allowed the commandment to do its intended work, he came to a very bleak realization, didn't he? He wasn't alive at all. He recognized, wait a minute, I'm trying to follow after the law, which you would think would cut down in sin. But he says, what happened to him? His testimony is, when the commandment came, when I realized what the commandment really did, sin revived. Sin came back up into my life. And it caused him to see that he was, in fact, spiritually dead. He thought he was alive, but that was without the law. But when the commandment came, when he realized the truth and intent of the commandment, he realized, wow, sin is really working in my life. And he came to this great realization that he was actually dead. He went from this blissful ignorance to the realization that he was spiritually dead. And again, that's the mercy of God. And that's what God did in you. That's where God had to bring you to get you to a point where you could believe in him. And that's what the law does. So here's Paul. He's finally ready to cry out like the praying tax collector, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. When he was abiding by the law, or he thought he was living by the law, he was like the unrighteous Pharisee. Right? God, I'm so glad I'm not like this guy. But God mercifully brought him to the point where he would say, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. And so he recognized himself as one of the helpless and ungodly. And when Christ confronted him, when the truth of Christ really gripped his soul, he knew that's what he needed. But you've got to get to the point where you realize that before you'll ever accept it. And that's the mercy of God. And that's one of the things that the law does. That's exactly what it does. So he realized that his relationship to the law was not going to result in the life that he thought it would. As a matter of fact, he says in verse 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Now, let me ask you this. Is the law, is the commandment ordained to life? It is. But before you can get that life, there has to be a death. Right? He was alive without the law. He thought he was alive. But for him to get the life that the commandment intended, he had to die. And that's his testimony. That's what he's talking about. And this is so typical of people today, isn't it? For Paul, it was the law of God. And he thought that the law would actually provide eternal life. The keeping of the law would be his means of salvation. Today, many people have their own standard of goodness, don't they? They have the standard of goodness that they believe that if they reach out to the standard, then they're okay. And if you couple that, folks, with an ignorance of God's word, for instance, you know, there's a very unbiblical view of God's love. People elevate God's love. There were probably many of them on television this morning, guys that stand up and just talk about the love of God or whatever, without ever talking about the law of God. And what that causes people to do is come up with their own theology about God's love. Certainly, if God is so loving like you say he is, he certainly isn't going to send people to hell. Right? They come to wrong conclusions based upon an incomplete understanding of God. And so this unbiblical focus of God's love is actually dangerous and would cause people to think that God will never send people to hell. But in fact, a loving God does, because of his righteousness. And until people are brought to the understanding that their righteousnesses are as filthy rags, then they will most certainly not realize that they are dead. And they will not respond positively toward the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, in verse 11, he reiterates sin's tactics again, where he says, for sin taking occasion by the commandment. He reiterates what he just said in verse 8, right? He's saying, look, this is how sin works. Be aware of it. As Paul sought salvation in the law, there was sin. Setting up its base of operation, it was stimulated, it was strengthened by the law, and it attacked Paul. That's his testimony. Verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. What was the tool? What was the tool that sin used? Well, it used, that was the springboard, was the commandment, but the particular tool it used was deception. He deceived Paul. You know, folks, deception is one of sin's most subtle and disastrous weapons. A person who is deceived into thinking that he is acceptable to God because of his own goodness will see no need for salvation. What a dangerous place to be. They will see no reason for trusting in Jesus Christ. Do you know that all false religions are built on deception? All false religions, even the ones that have Christ's name in them, all of them are they are deceptive in that they promote self-trust or self-effort, right? You trust in yourself, follow your heart, right? That's the kind of philosophy they have. Or they'll tell you, if you put forth enough effort, you do all these good things, and you are surely going to merit entrance into the presence of God. But that's not what the Bible says. And that's why this deception is so dangerous. Folks, self-righteousness is not righteousness at all. It's sin. And sin destroys. Paul says in verse 11 that sin used the law to deceive him. And by it, what's he referring to? The law. By it, the law, sin killed him. And again, this is a good thing. Right. Paul recognizes the weakness of his flesh. He understands the deadness of his soul. And he came to recognize sin's deceit and the law's impossible demands. And he was convicted of his own unrighteousness. That's the work of God. And God does that through the law. And he helped Paul to see his spiritual helplessness. And folks, that's where all we had to come to. Right. We had to come to that point where we recognize I can't do anything to be saved. And I don't know all of your testimonies, but I know even in my own life, there was a point where I would look at the things that I did and I would compare myself with other people and I would justify I'm OK. You know, I was Catholic and I used to think, you know, I'm 50-50. You know, I look at half of the people I know and they're really bad and half of the people I know are good. So I'm right in the middle. So I'm probably OK, too. But I had a standard of righteousness that was not biblical. And that's what Paul is talking about here. So the law reveals sin. The law stirs up and arouses our sin. And the law breaks down or slays the sinner. If we allow the law to do what it's supposed to do, those things will happen. Mm-hmm. And finally, the law reflects, and this is part of the real purpose of the law reflects the sinfulness of sin. Look at verses 12 and 13. He says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. God wants us to see the sinfulness of sin. In verse 12, Paul actually answers this question that he asked in verse 7. What did he ask in verse 7? He said, is the law sin? But here he answers it, right? No, on the contrary, it's holy, it's just, and it's good. When it's observed sincerely for what it is, it actually, folks, the law actually points people to Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? The law actually points away from itself. The law reveals to people, you can't be saved by following this. It's impossible. for you. All I'm going to do is arouse your sin. Sin is going to use me to stir you up. You need to go to Christ. And if you're sincere, then that's exactly what will happen. So then we have this another rhetorical question in verse 13, where Paul says, "Was then that which is good made death in me?" So was that which is holy and just and good, was that the cause of my spiritual deadness? And was Paul's answer? Of course not. God forbid. Folks, let me tell you something. If somebody murders somebody, it's not the law against murder that causes the punishment. It's the murderer, right? It is the breaking of the law that merits the punishment. It's not the fault of the law. The law itself is good. The breaking of it is what's evil. And so he continues in verse 13. He says, "But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." So God has given his holy, just, and good law so that sin might be revealed for what it truly is. And folks, how great is that for us as believers to be able to have that? That God provides the law for us to be able to see this. That it is utterly, wretchedly sinful. The law is folks, the law is necessary for the preaching of the gospel. The law, God's law is necessary. Until men see their sin for what it is, they will not see their need for salvation from it. The ultimate purpose of the law was to drive men to faith in Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all the demands of the law on behalf of sinners who trust in him. So the law reveals sin. It arouses it. It slays the sinner. It reveals sin to be what it is, to be sinfully sinful, with the purpose of pushing men and women, hopeless, helpless, exceedingly sinful, spiritually dead men and women, toward the saving grace of Jesus Christ. To me, I think that's a good thing. Amen. Is the law sin? No way. If the purpose of the law is to push people to have what we have in Jesus Christ, yes, that's a good thing, isn't it? So the law is not sin. It's kind of like God's stick prodding us to Christ. Every time we try to embrace it, it jabs us. You're going the wrong way. Get to Christ. And that's what the law of God does. It's holy. It's just. It's good. And folks, do you know as a believer, you still need it? You still need the law of God. We still need the continual exposure to God. It doesn't save us, right? We understand that. It doesn't make us righteous as we do it. But folks, it keeps God's divine standard before our eyes so that we can clearly see the sin in our own lives, right? I mean, for us to understand what pleases God and what displeases God, we need to know the Word of God. And as the Word of God reveals to us things that we're doing that displease God, we ought to thank him for that and say, "Thank you, Lord, for revealing that to me." So why? So I can confess it, so that I can forsake it, so that I can be forgiven for it, and that I can be right in his sight again. You know, Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word." And of course, that includes the law and includes the commandments. But "thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Right. So God's people need the law. We need the word of God that we would be the servants of God we ought to be. So when we consider our relationship to the law, sure, we're dead to the law. Right. We're not bound to the law as if we were in a bad marriage. When we died, we were separated from the demands of the law. But does that mean we no longer need the law? No. We still need the law. The law is still a good thing. And as long as the law is around, and it's going to be around longer than all of us, right? As long as the law is around, God's intent is that it would draw men, push men to Jesus Christ. And that's why it's good for us to understand that, because we could use the law as we tell others about Jesus Christ. What does it mean? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It means that we have transgressed God's law. And that helps people to understand them more. So hopefully this will help us understand how we can still live sanctified lives, but also encourage others to draw close to the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just pray that you would use this last section to help us to understand really our relationship to the law. Not that I'm concerned that any of us are really trying to live by the law, but Lord, it's good for us to understand that the law is in fact good. It is a very profitable thing even today. It is not sin because you have created it. It is just, it is holy, and it is good. And I pray, Father, that that we would understand that and it would benefit us in our walk with you. I do pray, Father, as we go our ways tonight, that you would give us safety to our homes. I pray, Father, that the things that we have heard today, that we would not quickly forget, but that we would meditate upon these things and with the purpose of wanting to apply them to our own lives. Lord, help us with these things. We love you. We need you. And we ask these things in Jesus' marvelous name. Amen.